We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We've talked football and some baseball today with some acquisitions occurring around the Cubs. Theo Epstein making himself available today. I'm sure he will be asked about the arrival of Paul Goldschmidt in the division.
But
we talked a lot of Bears and Rams and football with Matt Miller and Ian Rappaport, among some other things.
I like a feel-good story as much as everybody else, and this is a good time to bring him around, especially with what's going on around town. This from New York. Two New Yorkers erased $1.5 million in medical debt for hundreds of strangers. These two women, Carolyn Kenyon and Judith Jones, 180 and 170 years old, are working, I guess, with a charity called RIP Medical Debt. And it's something that this is what's needed in this country to forgive some of this debt. But you know how crushing medical debt can be for a single person or a family. I mean, this sort of stuff.
It ruins lives.
It does. It ruins lives. So what they've done, and I just got into the whole world of, you know, finances and savings and, you know, that
great
whole deal.
Time for it.
So you tell me. Yeah, right. Oh, buy low, right?
Yeah. So I'm trade wars are easy to win.
Apparently, yeah, tariffs are good. So apparently these two women sent $12,500 to this debt forgiveness charity. So then they purchased up $1.5 million in medical debt and then just forgave it. Apparently, that's how that works. And apparently, that's what these two are up to. And I had no idea that it would cost the low, low amount of $12,500 to buy up $1.5 million in debt.
That it seems like there's something wrong with the math there. At some point, they have to pay that money, don't they?
I don't know. I mean, if it goes into collections?
Or is it like credit default swaps where you actually own the debt for that
money? I think it's how you
money.
Own. I think you own the debt.
And then you can just give it away. Well,
that's good on you. I guess they're helping out more than 1,300 people across the state of New York in forgiving medical debt. I don't know if the charity works in other places. It's RIP Medical Debt. That's the name of it. If you feel like maybe, I don't know, during the holiday season, that's a charity you could get involved with and send some money to and help some people who would likely enjoy getting out of some of that medical debt.
You might not know it, but outdoor cats are one of the worst possible and harmful invasive species in the United States. And feral cats are everywhere. They're in cities. They're in suburbs. They are in unpopulated areas. We know that they're a bigger problem than the pythons and the monitor lizards in the Everglades.
This is all news to me.
Feral cats decimate wildlife and spread disease. However, there is an academic battle that's going on right now. A group of biologists has just released a response to what they believe is active science denialism regarding outdoor cat control. Because apparently, big feral cat is trying to push back against the idea that it's bad to have a bunch of cats going or the killing machines, slaughtering machines, just going around ravaging populations of birds and other animals. So this was just published. An open access study by leading scientists rebuts unfounded criticisms and reaffirms the need for effective outdoor cat control. According to researchers, coordinated critics have mounted a misinformation campaign designed to purposefully fabricate doubt regarding the harmful impacts of outdoor cats and stymie policies that would remove outdoor cats from the landscape. I don't know who's motivated to keep to protect feral cats. The conflict stems from a groundbreaking study from 2013 published by scientists from the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It evaluated the combined impact of the tens of millions of outdoor cats. Roaming outdoor cats kill approximately 2.4 billion birds every year, and they are the leading source of direct human-caused mortality to birds in the country. Similar results have been confirmed in both Canada and Australia. But there are cat advocacy groups that are criticizing the predation study as junk science, but researchers contend that such criticisms are an attempt to manufacture uncertainty and deny scientific findings for what they call political purposes.
Who benefits?
I don't know.
From cat advocacy groups, other than obviously the feral cats.
The International Union for the Conservation of Nature lists cats among the world's most harmful invasive species, and the introduction of cats to new environments has resulted in the extinction of 63 species in the wild, contributes to the spread of parasites and diseases harmful to people and animals.
You know, it's speciesism, Dan. That's what that is.
Oh, here we go. The PETA people mad about speciesism. No, there's you see them, and they slaughter for fun, for their own entertainment, and I would be happy if we could introduce an animal into the wild that could eat cats. If that's what coyotes are doing, then fine. But I
yeah, you've got the yotes out by you.
Yeah,
right?
We do. I think we need bigger and bigger predators.
Yeah, but then you're going to have to send something in after the coyotes.
Roaming the streets. We need something that feasts on feral cats.
Packs of wild wolves are roaming our streets and
land
taking over
sharks,
our cities.
Yeah, whatever you need to kill the feral cats. Get something bigger and badder and release it into the wild. What could happen? Well, how could that be bad?
Can't go wrong. I know you don't follow the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration fisheries newsletter.
How do you know?
So I do it for you. I know. I've asked before.
I follow the Russian guy that has the pictures of the deep sea fish.
You know, the nightmare machine?
Yes, the Russian trawler for
it's
the deep sea fisherman.
It's a nightmare machine.
He's
That's
great.
What that is.
Yeah.
Lampreys and teeth everywhere. Yep. No, the update today from NOAA Fisheries was on Hawaiian monk seals. These seals are getting eels stuck in their noses. Look at the picture.
Marge,
look at the picture.
It happened again.
I'm going to show the camera.
Let me see.
I'll show you. That is a monk seal with an eel stuck in his nose.
Is the eel actively trying to go in his nose?
They don't know. Apparently, researchers have observed this phenomenon 3 or 4 times now in the last couple of weeks, but they've never before seen it in 40 years that they've been monitoring endangered Hawaiian monk seals. They only started seeing it the last little bit.
It's a little frightening if the eels are trying to find a meal and they are trying to get into their brain or something
They're
that.
Snorting eels is what they're doing.
Oh.
We don't know if it's just some strange statistical anomaly or something we'll see more of in the future. Monk seals forage by shoving their mouth and nose into the crevices of coral reefs, under rocks, or into the sand. They're looking for prey that likes to hide, like eels. So this may be a case of an eel that was cornered, trying to defend itself or escape. It could be a seal that swallowed the eel and regurgitated it, so the eel came out the wrong way. We might not ever know. The seals that were encountered with eels up their noses were saved. The eels were safely removed. All the seals were released and had not shown any issues from the incident. No word on the eels and whether they made it through the harrowing journey themselves. Seals with eels in their noses.
Bear repellent sent 24 workers at an Amazon fulfillment center in New Jersey to hospitals on Wednesday after a machine punctured an aerosol canister of the spray, causing it to discharge toxic fumes inside the building.
Machines have taken over.
And yes, I said bear repellent.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah.
Employees responded. They reported difficulty breathing and burning sensations in their eyes and throat. Emergency personnel came to a 911 call. 54 workers at the facility were experiencing symptoms, and all affected workers have either been released from the hospital or will leave the hospital by tonight. Bear repellent spray, I learned, is similar to a can of pepper spray. It is intended to deter an aggressive or charging bear. And this is our second mention of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They recommend bear repellent spray as both safer and more effective than a firearm in fending off bear attacks.
Oh, yeah, they just kind of shrug off a bullet.
It was a damaged canister. It got punctured by a machine. And now I know there's such a thing. I didn't know that you had to. And I've been in the North Woods, and no one's ever said, hey, you know, you might as well. You better take some bear repellent with you.
So it just punctured it, and it spread throughout the facility?
Yes.
That's how we all got maced in college, actually. Same story.
So that's what Jordy Nelson had all this time.
Boy, you're on a roll today, man.
The Players Tribune every now and then comes out with a real gem. Allen Iverson has a story up on himself on the Players Tribune, because what else would Allen Iverson talk about. He tells a couple of good stories, one about giving Larry Hughes one of his Bentleys, one of his many Bentleys, and forgetting that he had no gas in the Bentley when Hughes took it. So he's just driving out and gets immediately stalled and missed practice the next day or something like that. But in it, he writes a couple of things you didn't know about Allen Iverson. Like he's done talking about Ty Lue. He's done talking about the whole practice thing. He's done talking about practice and talking about practice. So he loves to draw. And okay. He also is a real movie buff. And this just has to be read. I'm a real movie buff, which means I spend a lot of time watching all kinds of movies. And one of my favorite movies ever, I'd say, is Heat. It's this Al Pacino joint where he has to do some detective work on these white boys because they're robbing banks. These boys, I'm telling you, they're robbing everyone. You've got Robert De Niro running things, and Val Kilmer is his number two, and then Ashley Judd is his girl. It's a tight crew. The main dude, Robert De Niro's character, he's like, if you want to be about this life, then don't have anything you can't walk away from in 30 seconds flat. Okay, Bob, man, it's cold as ice. Their whole crew is. When I'm watching a movie, I like to pay attention to the details. I like to analyze them and try and pick up on something new each time. And so check this out. Last time I'm watching Heat, it hits me. These dudes are slick. Want to know why? Because they're wearing suits. Like these white boys, they put on a suit, they put on a tie, and now nobody ever suspects them of anything. Allen Iverson reviewing movies needs to happen as a YouTube channel. I will subscribe now.
Yeah, I'm here for this. To
I
have
will
him
subscribe
applying.
Right now.
Yeah, that's the AI we need more of in our lives.
It's a really good article. Go read it. It's the Players Tribune, and it's some good stuff back and forth.
Don't taunt the gendarmes of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Gendarmes?
Don't. The police in Saskatoon are not to be messed with.
I thought, oh, that's...
And I'm not going to find it out myself. I will
the
be...
French!
I will be in Saskatoon.
When?
August.
For what?
On
oh,
my...
That's the
on
trip.
My, that's the trip. On my the way trip. To the what we expect could be the fishing trip of a lifetime that I got an email from... And my dad's like, hey... I just made plane reservations. We're going to Reindeer Lake. And I said, we are? And he said, yeah, look at these pictures. And I said, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah, this is where they film the TV shows.
Like this is the kind of stuff where you fly in on like the single engine Cessna.
No,
and
it's
then,
a bigger plane than that.
Really?
It's a private airstrip in the middle of Reindeer Lake. Saskatoon
they can
up
actually
early
fly
in the morning.
Some heavy equipment.
Yeah, they
there.
Land it on the airstrip, the boats pick you up, they take you to the lodge, they say you're on the water within an hour, and it's like light
from
tackle.
From landing?
Yeah, they get your license done ahead of time and all that stuff. They take all your bags, they supply all the equipment, and it's light tackle. Barbless hooks for 50-inch northerns.
Oh, man.
The average walleye is 26 inches, lake trout, and grayling. So, yeah. So, anyway, that's beside the point. When the photo of a man wanted in Saskatchewan in connection with a series of mailbox break-ins was shared on the Saskatoon Crime Stoppers Facebook page, it received a seemingly audacious response. Catch me if you can, pigs, said the comment. From a Facebook user going by the name Joe Vermette.
All right.
Sounds like an ECHL defenseman. Crime Stoppers quickly wrote back, challenge accepted. Less than 3 weeks later, Leslie Joseph Vermette has been arrested by Saskatoon police.
Catch me if you can. They did.
Catch me if you can, pigs. Yes. Thank you. They have not said the charges that he faces yet. The challenge heard across the province was accepted and has been successfully crushed, Crime Stoppers wrote Tuesday. Anyone else feel up to issuing a foolish challenge?
I like that they're tough-talking a mailbox break-in criminal.
Right.
Like, that's the dude they're going to go
right.
get.
This is not like a three-province killing spree here.
Next up on their most wanted list, the guy who's been dropping Coke cans off on the side of the road.
The Saskatoon Crime Stoppers coordinator told CTV Saskatoon last month that the organization wasn't even focused on Vermette at the time of the comment, but it did cause him to jump to the top of the line.
That is the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. When we come back, there have been some reports from practice. Not the Allen Iverson kind of practice. I mean, from Bulls practice. They are interesting. They are intense.
New ones?
No, I would talk about the reports that have come out from practice over the last couple of days and the continuing, I guess, efforts from practice. Does it last? Does anybody want to do this? Jim Boylan's remaking the Bulls in his own image. We'll talk about it next. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Bobby Portis getting ready to come back to practice to provide all the energy and effort that's going to make the Bulls good. The segment brought to you by Subway. Now you can order a sub directly from your sofa. Subway now delivers your favorite sub, salad, or signature wrap straight to your door. Go to subway.com/delivers to order with Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, or Postmates. Delivery available in selected areas. See subway.com/delivers. For details.
Yeah, Boylan had the guys watching film right after the loss to the Pacers, something that Greg Popovich had done in the past. He's got them running suicides. Did you call them suicides when you were practicing and playing and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, they're called gassers, or they were called
gassers,
suicides.
Lines. Where... I guess some practices said we're running lines.
Yeah, where you start at the baseline, everybody runs, you got to touch. Sometimes you touch with your hand, sometimes you tag with your toe, depending
on. Oh, we had to touch. Oh, yeah. Touch with the
you
hand.
Touch with the hand. So it's free throw line and back, midcourt and back, opposite free throw line and back, opposite baseline and back.
Yeah, Coach Rubbis would not stand for you not touching it with the hand. You had to go all the way down. Otherwise, it was not a complete thing, and everybody had to run one more.
Yeah, my experience was more the worst. Was more just soccer, and they did what we called training runs, and it's just back and forth across the width of the field over and over and over again, with a ball, without a ball, high knees, then alternating the feet to tapping the ball. I mean, just over and over and over. That's before we actually ran laps.
I never really played soccer. I played a pickup game once in college because
I really didn't enjoy
some
it.
My friends played, and we're all running the whole time. Nobody slows down.
I know.
Why is everyone running the entire time?
I know.
It's miles on end.
I don't know why I did it. I was good enough to keep doing it, but I never was passionate about it. And you know, they wanted me around because I had a really good left leg corner kick. I could.
That's what keeps you around?
I guess.
Makes sense.
It's sort of like being a loogie.
Yeah.
That I was always there. You know, I could always.
Oh, I gotta get that left leg corner kick. Nobody else can do it. Dan.
It was something of value. I mean, everybody eventually got faster, but you peak in eighth grade, and then you hang on for a while. Kept the weight off though, because you can eat whatever you want. Like you say, you're running miles and miles.
Yeah,
the crew team with the Ritz crackers.
The crew team. Yeah. I did it freshman year, and it was just awful. You do it 4 years, you eat whatever the hell you want, and drink as much of it too.
But NBA teams, you just can't lean on that too long. I mean, maybe he's establishing himself immediately, and then he'll back off a little bit. But these are professionals.
I mean, thank God he has Bobby Portis getting back into practice. Thank God he has Chris Dunn getting back into practice, because both of those guys are the type of, you know, they're energy dudes. They're ready to work. Bobby Portis's practice ethic is legendary, sometimes criminal. But that's, you know, you have to have some of that if you're going to reshape this team. I'm more concerned, though, that if he's going to do this and ratchet practice up to this level and combine it with an offensive philosophy that wants to drain all 24 seconds off the clock and make a defense guard you for 24 seconds and slow things down, going the opposite way that the NBA is going. And it's not the NBA is going in a different direction than it seems Jim Boylan
the
wants
sport.
To go right now with the offense.
The sport is going in a different direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hell, you watched some of the Gonzaga game the other night, and I caught a little bit of, a Michigan game the other night before. I mean, that's a snappy kind of affair.
I was watching Loyola and Ball State last night.
That was
night
not a snappy night. Affair.
No, it wasn't. I knew it was on. I figured I'll flip over. I knew what was going on with the morning guys having their little rivalry. It was pretty entertaining basketball.
I watched the second half, and Loyola had a couple of chances in transition and had the ball swatted away every time.
The bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. 815 says, we called those drills ladders at our school.
Oh,
224
yeah,
right. says, we ran them in the wrestling room. They were called walls. Have wall-to-wall, the wrestling. We said still have nightmares about them 10 years later. And the 847 says the 60-second hockey drills. Yeah, running from sideboard to sideboard, skating, I should say.
And you get it in 60 seconds or 60 seconds to finish what? How many?
I don't know. I watch the youth coaches do it when the kids are jacking around at practice too much, and it's just I always feel bad for for the goalies that got to keep up.
It's like Herb Brooks, right? Again, again, just screaming over and over again. The drill is done when everyone throws up.
Yep.
Like Jackie Moon in Semi-Pro.
Never saw it.
Have you? You haven't seen Semi-Pro?
No.
You? With the background
Mr. Minor League
and the
Basketball?
CBA? Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing to me. This is like, it's not the same level as Damon Eel and Boogie Nights, but you need to see Semi-Pro.
I lived it.
It's totally, I know, but it's worth going to watch. It's totally underrated. It's not Will Ferrell's best, but it's in the pocket for him, and it is pretty great. Woody Harrelson's fantastic in the movie.
Okay.
It's got some great jokes, and it hits. I went to go see it with my old man at the time who went. He was in Indianapolis during the ABA Pacers and all that stuff, and he went and was like, this is it. This is exactly, they got the ABA. Like, they hit everything about that time and what it was to be a franchise just barely hanging on.
I think the underrated Will Ferrell movie is Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory is fantastic.
The Other Guys, have you seen The Other Guys?
I haven't.
With him and Mark Wahlberg.
No.
I am telling you guys, everyone dismisses it because people were Will Ferrelled out.
Yes,
that movie,
they were.
Every time I watch it, I laugh out loud. Hilarious. I think probably 50% of it is improv'd. And Michael Keaton is in it, and it's phenomenal.
Keaton's,
you guys have
great.
To see it. It's on TV all the time.
Other Guys?
The Other Guys.
They're cops. Mark Wahlberg is like the rogue cop who wants to bust everything up. And Will Ferrell's just committed to his desk job, and they team up. It's great. It's a phenomenal movie.
Okay. I've never been a big Wahlberg guy.
But this is him. It's almost him mocking himself.
Oh, okay.
In this, I'm telling you. People told me the same thing. You have to see it. You have to see it. I finally did, and I was mad I waited so long.
That's a strong recommendation.
All right. I still haven't seen, what was it, Under Siege that you told me to watch?
Oh, yeah, come on.
I couldn't find it on Netflix. I tried. I did try. I went through Netflix. Couldn't find it. Still looking for a place to rent it. Redbox did not have it. Somehow didn't have a 1994 Steven Seagal vehicle.
It's on somewhere. It'll be on like TNT or something. You know, you just check like at a weekend. It'll be on somewhere.
No, not for a while. TNT's on. It's Gone in 60 Seconds kick again.
Oh.
I was like flipping to see where the basketball game was last night. And I was like, wasn't Gone in 60 Seconds on like 3 hours ago?
Yes.
Why are they doing that?
Because it's a bad Nick Cage movie.
But why now? I mean,
I don't know. They just rotate through like the same seven movies.
Is it a Christmas movie like Die Hard?
I was going to say.
They like drive by a Christmas tree, so it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, Die Hard is a Christmas,
it's a Christmas movie.
I know.
Okay. Because the whole soundtrack is basically Christmas stuff.
No, the soundtrack is basically Beethoven's Ninth.
Yeah,
it's Ode to
Joy.
That
would be in the soundtrack. You're right.
Sound effects of things blowing up.
Yeah, not only is it in the soundtrack, the bassist, those the da 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 da.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
That is the
there's the Christmas rap song though. There's the jingle bells in and out of every scene transition that they've got going on.
Right. There's literal jingle bells that are used in the soundtrack. But there are.
This needs to be a transition topic because I know that MML completely disagrees.
It's a Christmas movie.
Die Hard's a. Yes, it's well. Then Home Alone's not a Christmas movie either. I mean,
it's a Christmas movie.
How do you define it? Does it actually have to be about the birth of Jesus?
No nativity, no Christmas movie. Get it out of here.
If the Magi aren't actually showing up with
their
gifts.
Life of Brian is a Christmas movie.
Yes,
because that carries a nativity through all of its 90 tortured minutes.
I need to see that again soon.
I just watched it a few weeks ago.
Not a Life of Brian fan?
No, I don't think there are parts of it that are great. There are parts that hold up, but it's not. That's the worst part. Is it's John Cleese's favorite movie of the Monty Python movies that they made. So I flipped it on, thinking, "All right, come on, Connor, you can." And it just didn't quite do it.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised. I kind of hated myself for it. Just
and,
one more
and you
thing
heard
on the list.
Cleese say this in person, right?
I did. Yeah, I went to one of his they show the movie, then Cleese comes out and just answers questions for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been. He turned down. This is what he said at the thing. He turned down the role in The Birdcage that was played by Robin Williams. Could have had that role, turned it down,
which would have been an entirely different
and
movie.
Still good,
but different,
but completely different. You're right. I don't think he has the heart that Robin Williams had in that movie.
Robin Williams, the warmth of his character
it's amazing.
In that movie,
the
yeah.
bond he forms. Oh, it's great. And then he also turned down the Michael Caine role in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which also would have been a great movie, and I think probably better But it's still a great, great movie.
Excuse me. May I go to the bathroom first?
Of course.
Of course you may, Rick.
Thank you.
Why is the cork on the fork to prevent him from hurting himself and others?
Lawrence Fells, Lawrence Fang Force, Lawrence. And this is all a roundabout way of saying that this Bulls thing is kind of it's not going to work. You can't make an NBA team better by running suicide to the end of practice. And I don't think that you are going to get closer to a championship by using all by forcing the other team to guard you for 24 seconds on purpose because you want them to.
They're going to get better because Dunn and Portis and Markkanen and Levine are all going to play together. But I don't know how much the philosophy is going to transfer over to the guys he's got. And I guess that gets back to the whole conversation we've been having this entire time. How good can this core be and what do you need to add to it?
I wish it mattered more. I wish any of the coaching thing mattered more, but it's only going to matter when they get a generational talent, at least one in the prime of his career, that is able to affect games and game plans and my opinion of the Bulls' future. But hey, if this is what John Paxson wanted, if you want to run this thing like a high school team and you want everybody clapping and you want everybody rah-rah and watching film, enjoy. I'm just not quite sure what this does for you.
It could be argued that a generational talent will be on display as the Bears play the Rams. Mm. Aaron Donald is a wrecking crew, and DeMarco Farr, a Rams radio analyst, is going to join us to talk about that ball game next. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Well, that was a loud bottle rocket that seemed like whizzed right by the microphone of Al Michaels as the celebration was going on. That man he mentioned, DeMarco Farr, is the Rams radio analyst now. You can find him on Twitter at DeMarcoFarr1, the numeral, and he joins us now on Sports Radio 670 The Score. This must be a really fun team to describe in radio broadcast, DeMarco.
Oh, it's a blast. But can you play that highlight again?
No.
Seven or eight times if you want it.
Please play it again. I want that as my ringtone. That's awesome.
What is the, you know, we've seen over the last couple of weeks, there was a little bit of a game that needed some help, I guess, against the Raiders, and Jared Goff comes off the bye week and isn't himself. But having Todd Gurley that you just get to rely on over and over again seems to be just kind of the quiet strength of that offense, as dynamic as it can be elsewhere.
About as quiet as you can be with a guy like Todd Gurley. I mean, he is the focal point of the offense, the tip of the spear, so to speak. Sean McVay's main goal week in and week out is to get the ball to Todd Gurley in space where he can do something with it. And you'll see something special 9 times out of 10. But, you know, Jared Goff does a good job running the offense. He's asked a lot in this offense. He spreads the ball around. He's usually pretty accurate. He's been that way all season long. He struggled last week versus Detroit. It was a little bit weird there, but, you know, they have complete confidence in him. But when Todd Gurley takes over, usually he either wears you down or wears you out. So he is phenomenal at that.
What does Jared Goff not want to do? You know, we were looking at some of his home and road splits, a much better quarterback at home. I don't know if there are any common threads to his difficulty on the road above and beyond that of any quarterback on the road. But what should the Bears' defensive goals be against him?
Well, it's the same as any other quarterback. You have to get pressure. And that's been an issue, a small issue, or something you have to take notice of. The offensive line has been great for the better part of two seasons, but they have been a little bit leaky in the last couple of weeks. Pressure has been getting to Jared Goff, but he's done a pretty good job protecting the football. That's something they're working with him on, trying to make sure he doesn't lose it in traffic. He did that again against Detroit. But for the most part, he's been a guy that can escape. And when he does escape the pocket, he can keep his eyes downfield and find a receiver that's open. Robert Woods does a great job. It's kind of like Russell Wilson and Golden Tate back in the day in Seattle. Whenever Russell Wilson got in trouble, the first guy he looked for was Golden Tate. Well, now he's looking for Robert Woods. Jared Goff is right now. So if you can get pressure on any quarterback, especially Goff, you have a better chance of success.
As good as this team figured to be heading into the season, the addition of Brandon Cooks has been something else over the last little bit. I wonder, what strikes you right away when you see him play, when you see him work into this offense?
Oh, man. You can see it from the practice field to game day. The stuff he does on the practice field and in warmups, you're going to see exactly that on game day. Kind of like Marvin Harrison back when he was an Indy, when you used to see Peyton Manning and Marvin do that passing tree, you know, for warmups, you'd see exactly that in the game. Well, that's the same thing with Brandon Cooks. Jared Goff can throw to Brandon Cooks without looking because he knows where he's going to be. And Brandon Cooks can run the route with confidence because he knows where Jared's going to put the football. So it's a perfect marriage. It's a guy that really works hard and brings it to the field on Sundays, and the quarterback is the exact same way.
We've had a lot of fun listening with some of the sort of the parlor trick Sean McVay stuff with his, his memory and his loquaciousness and just how he's able to spit out so much information when asked. And it's really kind of cool, and it must be sort of energizing to be around. The question I have for you, DeMarco, it's one thing to have the giant pulsating football brain. It's another thing to be able to make it useful and to translate that to effective coaching. How is that bridge built? How has Sean McVay successfully been more than just sort of a beautiful football mind and actually been able to have players see the game and feel the game and sense the game as he does?
Well, he's multilingual, if I could use that. I mean, he could speak to a guy like Andrew Whitworth, who's actually older than the head coach, all the way down to a rookie. They get football. He gets football. He gets players. Now, what we get in the media, what you guys get, is a guy, he's answering questions, and it's amazing, like you said, his brain power and what he can remember, what he can retain. But you're getting a head coach speaking to the media. What the players get is something totally different. That's the stuff we don't get to hear, but he gets right into the soul of you as a player. He knows who you are. He can tell who you are and what you can be if you listen to him. So, and the thing is, the one thing players desire, I could care less with sport. You want information you can use to help get better, and that's what he's got a ton of. He can help you on either side of the football get better at the position you're playing. He is a football savant. So the going joke was, okay, the Rams hired a guy that was 31 years old, so he may not have been ready for the job, but by the time he was ready, you wouldn't be able to afford him. So it was the right choice to pick him now.
Some people said that about Matt Nagy, too, that it might be a year too early. He might not be, but it's just an asset that you want, and so far so good here. I heard the same things about him.
Yeah, you know, he scares me. It's the same thing when I watch Chicago's offense and how dangerous it is and how much they can change and how much stress they put on the defense and how many indicators he gives his quarterback so he can pick up, you know, coverage and formations and whatnot. It's almost the same. But, you know, like I said, Sean McVay is the type of guy that reminds me of Dick Vermeil before the burnout in Philadelphia. All he does is football.
Talking football with DeMarco Farr. He is the on-field analyst for Rams Radio. Bears get the Rams, of course, in just a couple of days. We're talking about it here on Bernstein and McKnight. Aaron Donald has just been amazing. He's a one-man wrecking crew. He can do anything. That seems to be, in my estimation, the biggest mismatch of this game. It's Aaron Donald going against an offensive line of the Bears that hasn't been what it wanted to be the last 2 weeks. I wonder if you feel the same or if there's another mismatch that that leans one way for you, whether it's toward the Rams or toward the Bears.
You know, look, if you had the 1990s Dallas Cowboy offensive line, you'd still be in trouble with this guy. He is playing MVP caliber football. And I know it's weird. It's shocking to most people that when you think MVP in the NFL, you either think quarterback, running back, or receiver. Rarely do you think defensive tackle. But I would say take a second look at what you're seeing and how he's doing it. He's being doubled, sometimes triple teamed, and he's still making plays. It is incredible to watch him play. And not only is just the physical stuff, how smart he is. If you get hit with a play if he gets hit with a play he hasn't seen before, the next time that play comes around, he blows it up for a loss. He studies just like Sean McVay. He works harder than anybody I've ever seen in my life. So, you know, he's on a torrid pace, and I don't see this slowing down for a while.
And the Bears have struggled at times with the interior of their line. And I was watching some highlights before. What really scares me is when he and Ndamukong Suh start to run those twists and some of those games, and then you're really trying to communicate who's got whom, and you worry about somebody coming free and just, you know, ripping Trubisky's arms off.
Well, I can't remember the guy's name. This is going back to hockey. When Gretzky was still in Edmonton, he had the enforcer that kind of skated around and protected him. That's kind of like Sue.
Was it Asa Tikkanen?
I, It might have been.
I think it was Asa Tikkanen, yes.
When Donald's ripping it and the offensive line doesn't like it, well, they start to take liberties. Well, that's where Sue takes over. That's where he becomes the punisher. You have to answer to him if you go outside the rules of football to stop Donald. So it's the perfect tag team, in my opinion.
DeMarco, going back to that Monday nighter with the Chiefs and the Rams, was there any kind of lingering effect to just going through a track meet like that, to going through a game that was as historic as it was? Was anybody on that Rams team the next week just kind of sucking wind or just getting used to what they had just done? Or is that just another game for those guys?
No, I mean, I'm with you, man. I've never seen anything like that. When you see the score the way it is, like 105 points combined, you'd think there was no defense being played. Five takeaways, and I think they had five sacks against Kansas City. So it was just a great defense overshadowed by better offense, but it did distort your reality to football. So I don't want to say coming back down to earth to play Detroit, but it was. This is more of what the NFL is like. You won't see many teams like Kansas City. You have New Orleans, you have them, but for the most part, everyone's like Detroit. They're trying to scratch and claw to win a game. So it was a little bit of an adjustment, but you have to stay ahead of whoever you play week in and week out. They did the job in Detroit, so you have to do the same thing in Chicago with the weather and against a very good Bears team.
We're talking with DeMarco Farr, who is the radio analyst for Rams football, going back a ways to St. Louis. And I'm wondering, now that the team has moved, how is the football culture around the team different in Los Angeles? What has changed as the team has also gotten so much better?
Well, you know, the thing about Southern California, LA in particular, you have to win to keep people's interest in your product. So they're doing that. Sean McVay has lost 6 games in 2 seasons. So he's got the attention of his fan base. But, you know, it is kind of tough. LeBron James is in town. The Lakers still rule Southern California. So whatever LeBron had for breakfast still leads Sports Talk Radio in the morning. And then you'll get around to the Rams. But if you keep winning, eventually people will have no choice. You'll become the it factor or the it team in L.A. You just have to keep winning to do it.
DeMarco, noticing that the Rams have given up some pretty big numbers against tight ends this year. Not the most in the league, but it's of some concern, I would imagine, to the defense. What's the factor there, if anything you can think of?
You know, it could be scheme. It could be how Wade Phillips is choosing to, you know, cover the field or what coverage he's using, or it could be a combination of players in there. Corey Littleton has taken over as the middle linebacker, the Mike linebacker. He's calling plays, so this is his first season. And he's had a great season so far, but he's only going to get better. Mark Barron had to work himself back into playing shape. So those two inside linebackers have been victimized by tight ends early and often, and it doesn't look like that's going to stop. That's just going to be a symptom of the defense, how it is, how it's structured, and the way they're playing this year. But if you can lock down everybody else, take away the ground game, get pressure on the quarterback, which is what they can't do, these big, tall tight ends seem to own the hash marks versus the Rams' defense.
DeMarco, this is a lot of fun, and I should let you know, the hockey texters are lighting us up here with equal numbers suggesting the name you're looking for is Marty McSorley. And another, they're also saying there's a guy named Dave Semenko, Dave Cementhead Semenko, but Marty McSorley would be the most famous Gretzky protector.
That's the guy I was trying to remember, Marty McSorley. When Gretzky was on fire, if you wanted to take a run at him, you had to answer to McSorley. Well, that's Ndamukong Suh when he's on the field with Aaron Donald.
Really good stuff, DeMarco. Thanks a lot for your time.
You got it, guys.
That is DeMarco Farr. Really good stuff. Yeah, brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Annual timeshare maintenance fees are hitting the mail just in time for the holidays. If it's time to get out, call Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out legally and forever. Call 844-915-EXIT or timeshareexitteam.com. Load up the phones for Hub.
It is time.
312-644-6767. Questions, comments, concerns on the Bears in the NFL. And guess what else is happening as this is going on?
I can't quite believe it.
I don't know what it is. I think for the first time in December, we have seen the sun.
Or it's the herald of our doom. I'm not sure.
We're not Harold Baines.
No, not that guy. Okay. He's a sunny guy.
He's not the herald of our doom?
He's a bright, bright man.
Well, yeah, but I can't. I remember this glowing orb. Wow, how about that? It's an omen.
Awestruck.
It's an omen that Hub is going to enlighten you. He's coming up next on The Score.
Evidently. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.